So wait, if I don't leave, then Jason doesn't leave?
Then we'll just power through.
So I have control over Jason right now.
Yeah, you do.
What to do with my newfound power?
Wah, wah.
I'm going to take my shirt off.
2-year anniversary! Special episode! Welcome to episode 104 of One More Podcastle, part of the VG Evo Podcast Network. My name is Eric Bailey. I never met a nonsensical segue I didn't like, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer and co-community manager, and I have no idea what I'm doing here.
My name is Jason Lamb, resident Canadian, and my cold is at DEF CON 4.
I saw Canada got their first official snow this week.
Oh yeah,
how's that working out for you?
It's not near me.
Oh,
but it's out in Calgary. It's like
you're getting the effects of it though.
No, my cold, like not cold as in cold, like cold as in I'm sick.
Right, but that's usually brought on by cold
by
weather.
Cold. That makes sense.
Does it, yeah. Jason? You seem
kind of
perturbed in a sense.
We are really having this conversation right now.
We are. I just blame it on all the students have come back to my work, which is like having 20,000 people with the Black Death wandering around all at once.
Trying to touch your face with their hands?
Yeah. And my job is to touch everyone's computers.
Ah, so yes. That's a...
Start wearing surgical gloves.
Yeah, pretty much. It's great.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's better than surgical gloves wearing you.
Move.
You know, that would be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Would it be?
Is it not for you? Is that like a normal occurrence in the life of Eric Hunter?
There's a lot of things that may seem out of the ordinary for me that are for you.
That wouldn't be okay.
Every day in my life. So.
Every day. That's a good
every thing. Day. Yeah.
Every
it's
day.
It's a glory to be me.
It's a glory to be me, Eric Hunter. That's a pretty good quote right there. I'm going to tweet that.
That's what the show's become. What silly stuff is Hunter going to say today?
I can't predict what Hunter's going to do.
Neither can I.
So speaking of... Oh, no, go ahead. By all means. Whatever. No, go ahead. No! Say it! Hunter, you big... guy.
That's good.
Just trying to get the show along.
Yeah, I think we can all tell that we're all kind of stunned that this is our 2-year anniversary show.
Yeah, what the
it is weird.
We have an episode for every week for 2 full years.
Wow. Each episode's about an hour long. So that's 104 episodes, 104 hours.
It'd take you like the better part of a week to listen to it.
Yeah.
Technically, there's 105.
Well, also we've had absences, so none of us has done 2 years worth yet. So I think it evens out.
Yeah. Either way, if someone's starting to listen just now, you have a week to catch up.
The good news is you can do it.
And just take some time off from work.
Theoretically.
Yeah.
Don't sleep. Don't eat. Just lie in bed and with some headphones on.
We've literally had multiple people become fans of the show by just binge listening to catch up. And they tell me about it, and I'm like, dude. That's
you can skip an episode. It's
okay. It's okay. You can start around episode 95.
I mean, this whole podcast is about old video games. None of this information is new. If anything, it's just really old, and it gets older as the shows go on.
I'm trying to think. I think the first 16 episodes were a completely different medium. We were doing it over Skype. We didn't have a video portion. I mean,
yeah.
It's true.
We didn't have themed showdowns until a few dozen episodes in. Which, I mean, not a huge difference, but just yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing Skype, I could do the show naked. Now I got to wear clothes, or at least
I know,
t-shirt.
Right? Ugh.
So, just a t-shirt. That was the first time we actually saw each other, wasn't it?
Yeah,
like in motion and stuff. Yeah,
it's weird.
And then this year, we all actually like met at a real life event. One More Castle's coming along.
So when did we start taking over the world?
I pretty soon, I guess. I mean, I was on Kotaku today.
Yeah.
You know, collaborating on a feature there, so.
I mean, I...
Who knows?
Slapped George Washington in the mouth once.
Well.
Not the president. It was just some guy I went to school with.
Oh, nice. Well, speaking of slapping people's mouths after school, have you guys played any old video games lately?
No. I pulled a Bailey. I'm sorry. I made it special for the 2 year. I didn't actually play an old game.
I played Mega Man 6.
Oh, that's legit. I think it's underrated.
NES game. It's one of those. It's one of the Mega Man games that I kind of just glossed over. You know what I mean? Because like by this time, the Super NES was already out and. Mega Man had the same formula and like framework since like Mega Man 3. So, I mean, I got it on launch, or at least I remember getting it on launch. But nice. No, it is a fun game. Like, there's a lot of really cool stuff. The whole use of Rush, rather than him just coming down and you hopping on his back or stepping inside of him to become a submarine.
Yes.
He actually becomes a part of you. So, like, you've got the jetpack, which is much cooler than the Rush Jet. And, like, the super power suit, which was a kind of a neat idea rather than, you know, getting, like, Hard Man's Hard Knuckle or Guts Man's
Guts
ability to break stuff. Like, that was kind of neat. They also introduced, like, the whole fake enemy at the end, where, like, you. Like a branching path comes up at the end and you have to decide which way to go. Because going to the wrong one will ultimately not get you the beat, which is kind of the super weapon that's in the game. No, it's cool. I don't know. Like maybe it's just because like I'm so steeped with, you know, games from, you know, basically the PlayStation 2 back that anytime that I play a game, specifically like a side scrolling game, and the camera distance changes. So, like, you know, like you're playing a game and something magical happens, and but you're still playing the game. You know, like, say you pick up an item, and suddenly the view that you're looking at, like, zooms in and, like, kind of, like, everything gets bigger. Like, that still bothers me. Like, I still, in my brain, it says, whoa, that's weird. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously they weren't able to really do that, except for, like, maybe on the Super NES with Mode 7, but you knew it was doing it. But, like, I see it a lot now in, like, a lot of, like, indie games where, like, I'll be playing, like, a platforming side-scrolling game and then, like, I'll do, like, a special move and it'll, like, zoom up and, like, shake the screen. And I'm like, what the hell is it doing? Like, mm-hmm. You're not allowed to do that. I don't know.
But
it's weird.
That's a really nuanced thought you have. I like it. Oh. You big retro gamer, you?
Yeah. No, I've played so many Mega Man games so many times. You know, front to back, that I'm starting to analyze it more and it kind of bothers me. Like the whole using like a background image for a giant sprite, you see it coming because the screen goes black. It's like,
yep.
You know, if I haven't gone through a game in a while and I'm trying to remember what the Robot Master's, you know, like what the list is, where to start and what weaknesses are which and that kind of thing. It's like, I forget which is the water level and which is the, like the ice level. Cause there's one in every single Mega Man game. Mm-hmm. And then you get there and you're like, well, that doesn't make any, like, okay, Wind Man. Yeah. Wind Man should have a wind state. That makes sense. But like Centurion Man or Centaur Man or Centaur Man. Centaur Man.
Yeah. Centaur Man.
Nightmare. He's the water stage of this. I don't really think horses like water. Especially not centaurs. Like, why is that the water state? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then you see like the weapons and you notice like the programmers are starting to get lazy. So like,
oh, the leaf shield. What?
Well, no. The leaf shield's great, but then, which is it? The fourth one, Skull Man, is the leaf shield, and then in the sixth one, it's Plant Man. It's the leaf. Like, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same. Yeah.
So it's either a redux of a weapon they've already brought to the series, or it's just this crappy little sprite that shoots out of his arm cannon.
That would have been,
dude, they should
awesome.
Have called the DuckTales HD Remastered DuckTales Redux. That should have happened.
Would that have been awesome? I don't think
so. No, it would have been awesome.
They could have spelled it like Redux. Never mind, that would be Reduxulous. Oh, I'm so amusing myself tonight.
So yeah, Mega Man 6.
Yeah, and it's funny because like hardcore Nintendo fans, or Mega Man specifically, they kind of like rip on Mega Man 6 a little bit, and for a couple of reasons you mentioned, it is iterative.
Yeah.
In terms of the enemies and stuff, but like bashing a Mega Man game is kind of like bashing one particular wine. It's still a finer product than 98% of what's out there.
And right.
That's the key to understanding the context.
Yeah.
I think if you're a new retro gamer coming in and you're like, whoa, everyone hates Mega Man 6, that's gotta be a terrible game. I'd be like, no, play it. It's a good game.
It's a great game, just in terms of Mega Man quality. It's a little...
In terms of Mega Man quality, it ain't no Mega Man 2.
No, it's not. And the majority of those Mega Man games, it's like I've gone through and beaten all of them, but seeing Wily stages are far less familiar to me than the actual Robot Masters stages. Just because usually I'll beat the Robot Master stages and I'll get as far as I can in Wily's castle, and then I'm like, oh, if I die, I quit. You know, I've played for too long. But I'm playing through 6, and it's Mr. X, who, spoiler alert, is actually Dr. Wily.
Yeah, right.
And I'm going through like these 5 levels of his castle, and I'm like, these seem like really easy. I don't remember these being that. Is it just me? Like, have I just been playing these games for so long? Like, it just comes natural to me now. And then you get to Mr. X, and then he's just this giant, like, spiked ball with eyes, kind of like the Miley Cyrus wrecking ball kind of thing. And you beat it. And then he's like, oh, it's Dr. Wily. And then he takes off in his little ship, and now you have a whole other castle to complete. And I'm like, that's why these were so easy. I'm done playing this game. Like, I didn't need that. Like, give me the reveal that it's Dr. Wily. Give me maybe 2 more stages, but not 5, because I still haven't done the boss rush yet. Like, I don't have time to go through this. I got Mega Man 2 to play.
There you go. I actually pulled a Hunter this week and played a retro game.
Ooh. Hey! And that show that we do every week for the past 2 years?
That has a certain segment every single episode. And I'm going to do... I'm excited, guys. I'm excited because this is more of a live stream exclusive first, because it's not going to make any sense for the people who hear this later. But I guess they could. But here's the point. I'm doing a first. Not only did I play a game, but I'm going to give away a copy. Like, the copy I played, I'm just going to give it away. So, to anyone watching or listening right now, here's... Once I can learn how to talk again. Here's how this is going to work. On Monday, One More Castle tweets a link to the podcast episode. All I need you to do is retweet it. 24 hours after that tweet goes out, I'm going to pick one of the retweets and send you your very own copy of Dr. Mario. No, it's not rare or super valuable, but it's just fun. I'm going to give you Dr. Mario. Why did I play Dr. Mario? Here's a little quick story. At Indie PopCon, which was, what, in May / June? It was only a...
Yeah, it was the end of May, beginning of June.
Yeah.
Feels like it was a year ago, but... this is one of the games we were playing, and I was watching Patrick Scott Patterson, known affectionately as Scott, play, and he's pretty good at it. He takes a unique style to playing this game. He plays the slow speed, gives himself a lot of space, and he sees like how big of a chain he can create. And it drove me crazy to watch, because I'm like so anxious and impatient to see something happen. But like, I also like I'm sitting there patiently admiring it, because build these crazy complex, and then all of a sudden just I got to see him do it once where it was this crazy chain reaction. And I've just used the word crazy like four times over. That's okay.
But it was crazy.
So
it was super crazy.
I tried to replicate that. I was like, I like puzzle games. I like 8-16-bit. I'm going to just screw around and play solo and have fun creating, you know, visual masterpieces with the pieces. And nope, I couldn't do it. I don't have the patience for the precision. I failed miserably. It wasn't fun at all. So
now it's either you're going to give it away or throw it out.
Yeah, I'm giving. I don't want to look at this anymore. I'm giving it away. So retweet the link to the podcast episode when we tweet it on Monday, and I will pick one of you and contact you and send you this stupid copy of Dr. Mario. Great condition. It works. It's worth like $5. Whatever.
You gonna sign it?
If the person wants me to, I really don't think I'm that famous. I don't. I think that would reduce the. I mean. Nobody wants their cartridge with like ink all over it.
No, I hate that. That drives me insane.
Yeah. So, I mean, come on. Let's be real here. Ugh. Speaking of. Ugh, we got a listener email discussion question. It goes like this. Hello, gents. Jonathan again. Pondering retro gaming at work. Instead of doing something actually beneficial for society. I was listening to a great Final Fantasy Mystic Quest remix and pondering, would it have been regarded as a better game if it did not bear the Final Fantasy name? Considering that most Europeans I discussed it with enjoyed the game as Mystic Quest Legend, I'm assuming my theory isn't far off. Do you know of any games that, in your anything but humble opinion, would have been better off not piggybacking on a popular name? In contrast, are there games that would have been ignored if they hadn't attached to big mascots or publishers? My other Review a Bad Game Day choice, Pac-Man 2, comes to mind. I'm sure other Review a Bad Game Day participants agree. Thanks for your time, Jonathan. You can see him on Twitter at BigJonathan91. What do you guys think?
Yes.
Games that would have been better. Okay, great. Hunter says yes.
Let me say yes as well.
I think that's the right answer. Let's take a music. I'm just kidding. Hunter, care to elaborate?
I mean, it's risky business, man. Like, a lot of games, if you don't slap a face on it or a name or a mascot, then it's not going to be noticed. Ones that come to mind are like Star Fox Adventures for the GameCube. Like, it had an entirely different... protagonists, an entirely different storyline that featured a, it was like a cat or something. I don't remember. But it comes down to business and it comes down to money. And Miyamoto is not a dumb businessman. I mean, the game would have been crap regardless if it had Star Fox on it or not. At least he got some money because it had Star Fox on it. You know, I think the same thing is like with Super Mario Brothers 2. You know, it's a reskin of Doki Doki Panic. Whether you like it or not, it is.
Good example.
But if they would have brought that over to America, even renamed it with English words that make sense to dumb Americans, I still don't think anybody would have played it, you know, because it just would have been another... It would have ran into the same problems that Sega had when they were trying to choose who their mascot was going to be. Like, if they put all this time and money into Mario, then suddenly started pumping out new mascots, like, turning it at a very quick rate, would just muddle things, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least now, anyway, gamers cry for new ISPs. I want new ISPs. I want new games with new game mechanics. No, I want the remake of this. I want the remaster. We don't know what we want. You know what I mean? Like, I personally want new games, and I go out of my way to find new games, but as a whole, that's a terrible business strategy, and it's not just in video games. I mean, look at the movie industry right now. The most popular movies of the past 10 years have been intellectual properties that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years, you know? And they do that because they're making a Betty Boop movie. When was the last time Betty Boop was ever relevant? But it makes sense in the terms of industry because adults will remember the character and that stupid song that she sang, and kids will be enticed because it has that mascot type quality. So it takes both to bring them to the theater. That's, I mean, that's what happens, man. Like, that's just the world we live. It sucks.
That's a good analysis, though. It's almost like there's this critical point where once something is old enough to be nostalgic, the potency of the effect it has on those who experience it is almost addicting, and the people can't resist going out and buying it when it's re-released or in a new package or whatever.
Right.
And that presents conundrums for game designers who are like, well, we need to turn a little bit more profit. What name can we slap
on this? Yeah, we need to make money. Yeah. I mean, at least from what I've read and stuff, like something in the terms of like 70% of video games that have been released in the past 6 years are either just prototypes or frameworks for people just to come in and slap skins and, you know, familiar faces and game titles on top. I mean, they're not, it's not like how it used to be back in the day where it was like, we're making a Mario game. We're making a Zelda game. It's not, we're going to develop this framework and we're going to create this possibility of language that somebody can go in and like a suppository and start shoving things up its ass to turn out a product.
Thank you for going there with your analogies.
Hey, it's 2 year anniversary, man. Yeah, yeah. But more to his point in terms of Mystic Quest, like it probably would have fell on deaf ears in America, but it probably would have fell on deaf ears in Japan if it didn't have that term Final Fantasy on it. And the game's really not that good. I mean, it's okay. It's not that good.
Cool.
It's
just, Jason?
It's a weird back and forth.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's a lot of it's just slapping old properties on new things.
Yeah, that mouth slapping.
Like,
George Washington.
Mouth clean off right after school.
Nintendo's great for it. Like, really. Like, they are really, really good at extending their brand through games that have really in no way needed to be made. Like, we got Mario Tennis, Mario Soccer, and Mario Party, and Mario Kart.
Super Strikers.
Yeah. Super Mario Kart would have been a pretty good racing game anyway.
That's the
but
thing,
it probably
though.
You sold how many because it was. Because
you slapped the Mario name on it, and
everybody likes it now. I'm not even a racing game fan. Yeah. I love that game.
And people usually buy things based on brand awareness. And if. Especially families, because of a mom or dad will go to the store and go, oh, I know Mario. I know that's safe for my kid. Sure. Bam. Done.
See, that's a good point. I know it's safe for my kid.
I know
that's
it's safe for
that's
my kid.
That's the point. Yeah.
A Mario game is safe for my kid. I know that's Mario's not going to be shooting a guy's head off. If I see...
That's a really good point.
If I see another, let's say, a kart racing game. If I see another kart racing game...
Like Wacky Wheels.
I have no idea what's happening in Wacky Wheels, but I know what's happening
Serious
in a Mario
Wheels.
Game, because it's a Mario game.
Yep. There's going to be turtle shells.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. There'll be some pipes. There'll be some coins.
There'll be a ghost you can't look at.
Yeah, and Nintendo was really good at that.
I thought of an example of a game I haven't played, but I wonder... Link's crossbow training.
Oh, yeah.
People poop on it.
It's a tech demo.
Worst Zelda game.
Yeah.
That's not on CDI.
Yeah.
But if it was just like, you know, like Wii Sports Extreme Crossbow Edition on horseback, who knows? I don't know. Would people think it's a little bit better or a little bit worse? I'm curious.
They probably
we'll never
think
know.
It was better. I'd say.
Yeah. That's the thing.
You stick a name on something. Or you stick a name of something that has historically had, I want to say, pretty good quality onto a new product, and the new product ends up being crap. And then people go, whoa. This is way worse than it would have been just as Wii Aero tech demo number 6.
Purely because we're comparing it to the Zelda
games.
Canon,
yeah.
As
yeah.
opposed to comparing it to all the other Wii tech demos, which
yeah.
is not as stiff of a competition there.
I don't know. That might be a little different. Because those...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, those 3D models to make that crossbow training were already there. They didn't make anything new. They just put different, you know what I mean? Like they just put different maps together and they use the same elements and stuff. Like that was a rush job. I don't know. Sorry. It's just George Washington.
I can see it either way. Like I was just for fun. I was imagining like, imagine if Mega Man 6 was just a generic new protagonist mm-hmm. game. Right. But then imagine if Mega Man 6 was a Mario game. Like what happens?
Oh, it changes the dynamic.
Yeah.
What about this? What about something like Duke Nukem Forever?
Ooh.
A game that's been on the heels of being released for what? Ten years?
Yeah,
something like
years.
That?
So hyped.
What if they just said, you know what? It's not going to happen. But we have this other really cool game with this different protagonist. Try it out. What would have been the perception?
Did either of you play Duke Nukem Forever?
I played it for like 20 minutes.
All right.
I've heard of it.
I beat it.
And I didn't find it that bad.
It starts out not that bad. It very much goes downhill.
Oh, okay. Well, that's always good to know.
Yeah, so you probably made the best choice, just those 20 minutes. But I do think that it would have, without that 10-year history of the Duke Nukem name, people have just been like, oh, it's a crappy shooter. All right, well, good job, Gearbox and 3D Realms. You tried. Next.
I don't know. Like, I think if they just would have said, sorry, we're not doing that. We got this other project that we're working on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. Sorry. So, no.
Cool. Great.
I said no.
Good discussion, though. If anyone out there listening or watching wants to submit your listener email discussion question, email address is podcast@onemorecastle.com. No special subject line required. Just ask a freaking question. We'll answer it on the show.
Looking at you, Lamb.
It's a big part of what we do. Yeah. Jason,
looking at
when
you.
Last time you submitted a question. Have you ever submitted a question, Jason?
Yes, once.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it under an anonymous name?
Once.
Long ago. Okay. Cool. Whatever. So, anyone wants to do that? Do it. Otherwise, I think we're going to take a music break. Back. That was Flash Man by Mega Beardo. A Mega Man 2 remix on electric guitar by an old friend. Good work, Beardo. Speaking of beards, it's time for the best part of our show. The Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
For anyone who doesn't know, this is a part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, And then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. But the best part is that you, the audience, get to vote for your favorite of the three in a poll on the podcast episode page on onemorecastle.com. So hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, or at the very least, will make you laugh. It's our grand mission, really, let's be honest. And let's see here. We usually follow a theme. And 2 weeks ago, or two episodes ago, I should say, the theme was dog games. And we don't need to spend a lot of time on it. Hunter won with Duck Hunt.
Gloss over. Yeah, I did.
So, you know, we don't need to mention that, talk about that anymore. No. So, tonight...
Sorry.
The theme...
The win in my column.
The theme, Juggernaut is Juggernaut. Tonight the theme is reptile games. That's right. Not snake games. Not lizard games. Not frog or amphibious games. Not giraffe games. Not put a fork in your toaster games. No, it's reptile games.
I think I actually have a game for forking your toaster.
I look forward to forking your toaster. But until we get to that point, traditionally, Jason,
that's what she said.
The 1 minute timekeeper, put a fork in it.
Okay, countdown.
You're toasted.
Let's stop.
And I go first. So whenever you guys are ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah. I picked a game.
Good. You may begin.
The game I picked is Croc. It's released in 1997. On the original PlayStation console, you control a crocodile. It's a three-dimensional action platformer. So you perform various precision jumping challenges, defeat enemies. There are multiple levels, boss fights, and collectible items, such as gems. It is a video game starring a crocodile, which is a reptile.
And not a dinosaur.
Not a dinosaur. Is there anything else to say about this game? I mean, it's pretty...
Well, you're out of time now. It's Croc?
Well, the full title of the game I'm picking is Croc, Legend of the Gobos. Because he gets...
All right.
Gobbo.
They're his peace-loving Gobbo friends.
Right.
The Gobbo.
Yes, rescue them. The Gobbos. So, Croc, Legend of the Gobbos. Totally a video game.
Hunter.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
You may begin.
I want to take you guys on a journey. Ooh. And not just any journey. An adventure. And with this being our second year anniversary, I thought I would bring the second most popular game for one particular console. So popular, in fact, it sold over 4 million copies. Created by just one man and 10 minutes. It's the one, the only Pitfall for the 2600. You'll be jumping through the desert, or the desert. You'll be jumping through the jungle.
Whoa.
Over crocodiles, snakes, both being reptiles, and scorpions. It's Pitfall for the Atari 2600.
All right.
Going through a desert.
Yeah. Going That's a very through different a desert.
Game. It's a very different game.
All right. I guess I'll. Where's my tab? Here it is.
Where is that tab?
Where is it? All right. I'm ready. Here we go. Developed by some guys who once developed GoldenEye. This game sees you traveling through time as you kill people and things. Not only does it feature a pretty well-designed single-player campaign, it also features great split-screen action. That's Time Splitters 2. Where you get to play as a dinosaur. And may I remind everyone that dinosaur does stand for Thunder Lizard. Which lizards, you see, are a type of reptile. So one would say, this game literally allows you to play as a reptile. That's Time Splitters 2 for the GameCube.
Went for the GameCube version, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's the best version.
It is.
Interesting. It is really good. I'm just, I don't know. I see him as like a PlayStation 2 guy. I don't know.
It's the best version.
So, yeah.
Time Splitters 2.
It's a fun game, I guess. It's okay, I guess.
Jason.
Bad. Yes.
Screw your ear with a long knife.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
Are you upset at my choice? Is that?
I am
upset about something.
I am boiling with rage inside.
Ooh.
That's pretty bad.
Is Time Splitter such a good game?
I love that game.
Oh, yes. Excellent.
It's a really good game.
I'm debating whether to debate you with straw man tactics or go purely on a personal level and insult you specifically, Jason Lamb, the human being.
I like that.
I like that.
Yeah.
I've had paper cuts that are 12 to 20 times more enjoyable than this feeling right now.
Ooh. Wow. Ooh, this is getting kind of deep and dark.
Yeah.
Make no mistake, I don't actually wish bodily harm on you, Jason. I don't have any.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, it's.
But. Sounds... I don't have any psychotic delusions as to how, you know, significant this leisure-related podcast program is. But having said that, I am so angry with you right now.
Wow. That's legit. Those feelings they seem pretty legit.
Well, if it makes you feel better, it won't make you feel better.
Like if I owned an item, like in my house that had your face on it, I would pee on it right now. Like that's the place I'm at.
Wow.
But well, why?
Yeah, you really love this game, don't you?
I really like that game.
It's a good game. There's a lot of neat things about it. I mean, it's okay. It's not.
Whoa! No. It's good.
I've had better.
No, you haven't. We haven't.
Yeah. Yep. Definitely.
Yep. It's still not as good as my game or Hunter's game. So, you know, there's that.
It's not. You brought Croc, Legend of the Gobos.
Gobos, Legend of the Gobos. They're gobs.
Let's
so
be
originally
honest.
Originally, it was supposed to be a Yoshi game.
That might be relevant. That ties into our discussion game well. Question. Unlike our interlude track.
Yeah, well, it's like the reverse because Nintendo said no.
This right? is too they bad like, to slap our character on.
Can you believe it?
So they were like, well, screw it. We spent all this time, money, and effort on this game, so we're still going to bring it out, and it fails.
For anyone who doesn't know what we're talking about, they're actually part of our Mascot Mania feature series. There was a Croc, not episode, it's not a video series, but there was a Croc article that explains the backstory, and it's interesting. It's because Nintendo was like, We hired you to make a Yoshi game.
Good job, guys,
No. Yeah.
Thanks for coming out. We'll see you out there.
The awkward reality of the developer being like, well, we still want to put this game out there. It's just fun. I don't know. It's funny.
There was sequels, though. There was a Croc,
there's,
too.
Croc is a legitimate franchise. What? Like, there's been a handful of Croc games, guys. I mean...
Like, wasn't he even featured on Diddy Kong?
There's
Racing?
Been more Croc games than Time Splitter games.
Really?
So, well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Absolutely.
Really?
Did the development team that created Croc completely implode after the third one? Or
Argonaut Software. Oh, they're defunct now. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
You're defunct when you put deodorant on. That's what deodorant is, the act of defunking yourself.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. It's more like it's proactive.
Okay, so to bring back the retro discussion question that we just had, would that game have been better with Yoshi?
No, that would have been an awful... You know what? Yes!
See, you're going to say it would have been an awful game.
Yes! Because, no, but it has... Like, uh-huh. Now, hear me out. With one key difference, if you have the tail slap, you have the butt stomp, but if they would have added some eating action, like some tongue flick gobble up, Yoshi could have been a contender in three dimensions.
Ooh.
Yoshi's never had his own three-dimensional game.
No one.
Do you guys realize
Yoshi.
That?
I would rather have a Waluigi three-dimensional
game. I would too.
Game.
Oh,
I
God.
Waluigi.
I would play the hell out of that.
I basically am Waluigi. I'm a freaky, lanky, creepy, crazy.
You're bad Luigi? That's weird.
That's exactly who I am. Idiot.
Time Splitters 2 for the GameCube has one major flaw, which is also its best feature.
Okay.
Which is the ability to create your own multiplayer maps from scratch. That's amazing.
It is incredible.
But nothing will crush a gamer's soul more than finding out the GameCube hardware can't support enough memory to create the multiplayer level that you
that
really want.
That was incredibly frustrating.
Oh my gosh! Like
some cool ones. It's just
no, I know, but I just remember like going online and finding people trying to recreate like GoldenEye levels.
Yeah, but you couldn't,
and they were just so bad because the memory wasn't there, man. It was tough. It was a brave new world. But it was tough seeing that. So Pitfall holds a very special place in my heart.
And in video gaming history. You also suck, Hunter.
You brought the worst game, Bailey.
No,
you did.
The thing is, my game.
No, you did.
So
I didn't know you guys were going to pick Pitfall and Time Splitters 2. Oh, I got to get back into this. Okay, go ahead, Hunter.
So anyway.
Do your thing.
Pitfall. Fun game. I mean, it's obviously you guys know at our age we kind of missed the Atari.
Yeah.
So I really didn't get to experience the game until like I was like maybe 14, 15 years old. And I remember looking at the box art and I was like, "Wow, this game looks really cool." Look at the graphics, man. This is for the 26, and then you pop it in, and it's like, I was lied to.
That specific example you just mentioned is actually part of Nintendo's decision to put very blocky pixel art on its black label titles for the console release to let people have a realistic expectation of what the game is going to look like.
Totally makes sense, because as a kid growing up, I still played it. I still enjoyed it. Didn't realize we could actually beat the game and get to a kill screen until maybe 5 years ago. So there's that. So I'm on the Book of Knowledge, and I've got to read this because it just made me laugh. So David Crane, he was a programmer for Activision in the early 1980s, created this game from start to finish and by himself. So it was just like in the old days of Atari, it was a one-man show. So somebody asked him how he came up with the idea of Pitfall. And here's what he said. I sat down with a blank sheet of paper and drew a stick figure in the center. I said, okay, I have a little running man. Let's put him on a path. And he draws two more lines on the paper. Where is the path? Let's put it in a jungle. Draw some trees. Why is he running? Draw treasures to collect and enemies to avoid. And Pitfall was born. This entire process took about 10 minutes, and about 1,000 hours of programming later, the game was complete. What an asshole.
No, that's awesome. I'm glad you elaborated, though, because you kind of said it was, quote-unquote, created by one man in 10 minutes. I was going to call you out on that. it was conceived of, like it was thought of. It wasn't made.
Right. Well,
but okay,
you know.
I hear you. I hear you now. Like, okay, that's a cool story.
But I mean,
10 minutes and changed everything.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Technical achievements.
I mean, your game sucks.
Ooh, no.
Sorry, that does. I can't.
Hey, man.
I can't even right now.
Animated sprites. Non-flickering screens. I mean, you brought Pac-Man once. Remember that? Remember that debacle when you brought Pac-Man for the 2600? Oh, no, it'd be so much cooler if there was just one ghost that completely didn't even adhere to the rules of the game and stay within the maze. No, it just came right at you. No, that's not good.
So Hunter, can I ask you a question?
So buttons?
Sure. Nice. So you do realize that Pitfall does not take place in a desert, right?
No, it takes place in a jungle. And I was going to edit that bit out, but now I got to leave it in. So
well,
thanks.
You can edit this part out too, if we're going to go that far.
Well, I mean, no, I can't now. So.
But to be clear, in the intro you said it takes place in a desert.
Yeah, I corrected myself.
You lied to our listeners, our viewers, our audience as a whole.
Man, if they don't know what Pitfall is, they probably shouldn't be listening to this show. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Wow, that's so horrible of you to say. We don't want to be.
Yeah, that's an awful thing to say.
Wow, you elitist prick.
What?
Really? Be exclusionary. Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you don't have the basic building blocks of retro gaming, Pitfall being one of those.
It'd be a great entry point to learn more about retro gaming, but maybe some kid out there likes his Super Mario 3D Land, and his dad's like, oh, let me show you something. Some Super Mario Brothers kid loves it. Dad's like, oh, I gotta teach you some more about retro gaming. Neither of them is like a hardcore retro gamer. They haven't even played Atari. They come to our website via a Google search for retro gaming. Oh, they have a podcast. I like podcasts. Maybe I can listen to it with my kid. And here you are, Hunter. If you don't know what Pitfall is, you're a big tool bag. You should be run over by a truck, dummies.
I don't think I said any of those words.
But you did say that Pitfall takes place in a desert.
I know, and then I corrected
myself. Which is lying.
I mean, the floor looks like a desert. It's not like a muddy, grassy area. I mean,
no, you know what? I'm glad I said what I did to provoke you in revealing your true feelings. Because now I feel great about going against you in the showdown, because I have the moral high ground.
Which never works.
No, you don't
in
have
the showdown poll.
No, it doesn't. It never
they're
does.
Gonna see
what,
no, because they're
what
gonna see Time
to
Splitters
up,
2
Hunter.
And be done with it.
Oh jeez.
I know, right?
What, Jason? What? What?
You brought a truly, truly crappy
it's
game.
Bad.
It's not that crappy. It's not bad.
It's just, no, it's just
generic. It's not.
It's like generic. It's like, you know, it's boring. It's bland.
I if you had to go through the list of like really like shitty, just platformer games that came out in that era, this would be like at
well,
the bottom.
See, and that's the thing. This
podcast
game
used to be fun.
No, this podcast is not fun anymore.
Like
sorry. No,
it's been 2 years. The fun's over.
Our honeymoon phase is over. Our honeymoon
podcast
phase is
title.
Over.
It's been 2 years.
The fun is
no
over.
No fun allowed. We're literally going to try and bring the best game every week. Fine.
No, we don't have to
what
do
you talking
it.
About? I brought just, Duck Hunt 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I did, Duck!
I'm just going to try not to bring the worst game every week, which you clearly have brought the
yeah,
worst game.
Yeah, you definitely win that race, my friend. Well, see, that's the thing. Croc came out when all of these great 3D platformers have already been released.
No, Crocs weren't even popular for like another 5 or 6 years at least.
That's true.
My mother-in-law still wears them. That doesn't count. They're Crocs. They get dirty and grimy and gross, and people wear socks with them, and it's weird, okay?
Then why would I want to play with one?
What's the whole purpose of a Croc anyway? Like, is there actually like an actual?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, is there like some?
Well, they're great for kids because they're a solid shoe that provides protection that you don't have to lace up or even use Velcro. You just like shove their little meat feet inside.
Shove their little hooves inside.
Better shoes.
Yeah, that's what Crocs are for kids. Okay, silly rabbit. Crocs are for kids. Adults wearing Crocs, you're just lazy.
Oh.
I know some adults who wear Crocs. That's
no, the worst thing, it's not Crocs. It's the ones that actually look like toes. Have you seen those?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
disgusting.
The running shoes?
Are they running shoes?
Yeah, they're meant for running.
Supposedly, I actually know a guy who really likes his pair of toed shoes.
Is it you? Are you the guy that you know?
No.
Would it be somebody who would bring Croc to the Retro Showdown?
No.
Pitfall, ladies and gentlemen. Croc. A classic in its own right.
One more question about Pitfall, Hunter. Not only did you lie and say that it's in a desert, but I think you confused your game with Mortal Kombat because you said it has scorpion and reptile? The protagonist is Pitfall Harry. His name is Harry. There's no Shaolin monks.
I don't think the first one. I don't think he had a name in the first one.
What?
No, I think it was like Donkey Kong and Jumpman. Like it wasn't Mario yet. So I thought about that, but I didn't.
Wow. No, good time for my computer to slow down. It's great.
I don't
Pitfall.
Know.
Let's consult the Book of Bullcrap. Pitfall may refer to a way of passively catching animals, especially arthropods.
I might have to edit the croc.
What are you?
Oh God! Please do. Please do.
It says Pitfall Harry like several times. I'm pretty sure it's in the instruction booklet. I could be wrong, but
well, see, that was the thing. Like when I was. Well, I guess technically I still am collecting 2,600 games. Like, it's just carts, man. Like, I've never, one, been lucky, or two, had the money to actually buy a 2,600 game that came with, like, a box and instructions, because that stuff
ridiculous. Who would do that for the Atari 2600? No offense, AtariAge.com and your dedicated fan base of hundreds of people who do that kind of thing, but ugh.
I don't know. I think the box art's kind of cool looking. It's colorful.
It is.
Then again, the labels are traditionally the same as the box. So, I mean, if you get a good enough label on the cart. Then...
Oh, that's true. Atari was kind of fun like that, honestly. Jason.
Yeah.
I'm really going to try and make fun of your game here. I took some notes about your intro.
You can't. You brought Croc.
No. I did.
The single player sucks.
It is surprisingly lackluster. I tried playing it, and my wife actually got to witness me getting more frustrated than I should have been for the solo mode of a first-person shooter. Yeah.
There's no leeway. It's black or white. You know what I mean? Like, if you get caught by the security cameras and the when he goes back to, what is it, like the Soviet Russia or whatever it is?
Yeah. Yeah, the beginning.
As opposed
to
Chinese Russia, Hunter.
Right.
You can shoot the security cameras out beforehand.
Yeah, but if you're playing it through the first time, you don't know that they're there.
So, and then you can shoot your way out after that.
Yeah,
though.
But they're you have no ammo. You run out super quick. The weapons are way overpowered. The multiplayer is the only thing worth playing.
That's fine.
No, I'm fine with it, too. So, the multiplayer is amazing.
I'm fine with that.
And there it is. There it is.
Great.
And Jason. Like I said, I was trying to make fun of your game in your intro. I took some notes. In your intro, you said it has great split-your-screen action. My question is, why would I want to split my screen? I like my screen. I don't want to damage it.
No, it's so good. It will break your CRT television.
That's all I got.
The tube will explode.
That's all I got. Your game has naked bears in it, Jason.
Yes. So normal
oh my
bears.
Gosh, it
has
really
normal
does.
Bears
right.
in it.
Yeah, it has naked bears, and you should be afraid and insulted and ashamed of yourself.
And a tiny little monkey.
Yeah. Yes.
Wait, you know, being a naked bear is kind of redundant because you are bear.
Yes. Well, I mean, Yogi Bear is not a naked bear.
He's still pantless.
Well, he's wearing a tie and a hat. I mean, that's not naked.
Why have Donkey Kong and Yogi Bear not appeared together on some internet meme about wearing nothing but a tie? This needs to happen, along with DuckTales Redux.
No, please.
Please. The fun is over. This is the end of an era, this podcast.
Man, yeah.
I hate you. I have nothing but negative emotions toward you two right now.
Good.
That's not true. You love us.
I do.
Yeah, you love us.
You guys pick such good games. I can't deal.
I'm surprised somebody didn't bring Snake. Like, that's a classic.
I considered being funny and bringing Metal Gear Snake's Revenge on NES.
That would have.
But then I remembered I actually hate that game and really don't like it.
Or Donkey Kong. Why didn't somebody bring Donkey Kong Country?
Oh, good call. I should have brought a Donkey Kong Country game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have brought like a better kind of platforming game.
Than the Scrappy Crocs game that people wear on their feet.
I actually gave Jason a suggestion on which game to bring, and he didn't take my suggestion.
No.
Just a little kid's hooves.
I thought of Time Splitters. Which is obviously a good choice.
Does anybody like Croc? Do I have any chance this week?
I don't even think I have Croc. Let's see if I own Croc. If I own Croc, I will vote for your game.
Wait, really? Oh, thank you, Hunter. Oh,
which,
you,
by the way, Jason. I am totally voting for Terry's pick last week.
You suck. So, Jason.
Yeah.
You said that dinosaur stands for Thunder Lizard. Dinosaur is not an acronym.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but it.
I'm really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I don't know how to.
You really are. That's.
Yeah, scraping barrels, the bottom of barrels that could have been from Donkey Kong Country, but you screwed that one up too. Screw the pooch on it, man.
Are you guys up for another 2 years of this?
Yeah, we're going to have to. make up for this terrible episode. Yeah.
What's funny is this is actually probably one of the better episodes we've done for a while.
Yeah, probably.
For the past 5 or 6 weeks at least. And that's our show. No, I'm just kidding. Final arguments. Jason.
It's Time Splitters.
You got my vote, brother.
Hunter,
it's Time Splitters too.
Hunter, why should anyone?
It's
vote
Pitfall.
For one of the most.
It's Pitfall.
Oh.
So remember that episode where I completely shut down and you guys started hating on the Dreamcast? This is exactly how I felt, Bailey. Now you know how I feel. It took a year and a half. But it's happened.
No, during that part where I was trying to express how I felt about Jason, like, don't get me wrong, I meant all of it, like, literally, like, for real. But, like, I also wanted to smile so bad that not doing it almost made me cry. And then I was kind of secretly hoping I would cry because it would have looked so intense, but.
Wow, that's creepy.
Whatever. Yeah, right? That would have been real creepy. This is just me stalling as I try to figure out a reason to go for Croc this week.
It could have been a great Yoshi game. And it probably would have been the only Yoshi game ever made.
The last Nintendo game ever released, as I put them out of business. You should vote for Croc.
Nope.
Because developers took the chance to make a first party, like a Yoshi video game. Then they're like, screw it, Yoshi's lame, we're going with a full-on crocodile. You should vote for Croc. It's the edgy, hip choice. I can't even say it.
Hamster thing to do?
It's the hamster thing to do. Vote for Croc, please. That's our showdown, guys. I wanna give some shouts-outs to our live stream commenters, Jonathan, Alex Weiss, Joshua Tiberius, Dustin Faber, Christopher Swartz, Valerie Minnick, Brent Jureski. Good to see all of you. Good crowd tonight. Great discussion going on. The people who watched but didn't comment, that's cool too. We appreciate you guys. In fact, if anyone wants to watch the live stream, we broadcast 7:30 p.m. Central Time Thursday evenings. So I'll be sure to spread the word, enjoy, vote in the showdown, leave comments on the episode on onemorecastle.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Nintendo_legend. I have no shout outs this week other than the ones I just gave the live stream commenters, because they are the only special people in my life right now. I've been devastatingly double crossed by two good friends that I could trust. Jason.
Yeah.
Do you have any shouts?
Follow me on Twitter at Jason Lamb. I'm going to give a shout out to Crytek, who bought the Time Splitters franchise and have since then not made another Time Splitters and have in fact caused the studio to close. So good job, you bastards.
That's what happens, man.
That's so sad but true. Hunter, do you Jimmy, shout outs, plugs, reminders, acrylic decorating tips.
Sure, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Hunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com, and we have a very special feature coming in the next couple of weeks.
Ooh.
Stay tuned for that. Acrylic.
Sorry, forward here, secret.
I'm not a crafty guy.
And remember, Dr. Mario NES cartridge. Gonna give it to one of the people who retweets the tweet on Monday that announces our new episode. So if you're listening to this within the 24 hours that we first tweet it, retweet it quickly, because 24 hours after that tweet goes up, I'm gonna pick one of the retweeters, contact you, and send you a copy of Dr. Mario that made me sick. So that's... That's our show. Send your listener email discussion questions to podcast@onemorecastle.com. Watch the live stream. Brush your teeth twice a day. And last but not least, audience, remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week!